Hello, all you amazing moms. It's me, Michelle. And I know if you're dealing with divorce, it can be daunting. Trust me. But with HelloDivorce.com, you're not alone. They offer a refreshingly simple, affordable, and stress-free divorce alternative without skimping on the expert support you know you need for this crucial transition. Listen, whether it's straightforward separation or you're tackling complex legal and financial negotiations, Hello Divorce is going to ensure that you navigate from uncertainty to confident clarity. Their best-in-class, five-star customer service team is your guide to setting up for success in this next chapter. Plus, come on, they're one of America's most innovative companies. Mention my name, Michelle, and they're going to treat you extra special. Don't wait, though. You got to start shaping your brighter future today. Visit hellodivorce.com/moms because moving on means moving up. We're in this together, babes. And with Hello Divorce, you've got the support to thrive. Moms, I know divorce can be really messy, but selling your engagement ring can actually be quick, easy, and stress-free with Worthy. Worthy uses their expertise, technology, and connections to get you the absolute most for your jewelry with no hidden fees. Plus, just for my audience, Worthy gave me a special offer to share. When you sell your jewelry through Worthy, you'll receive a $100 Amazon gift card when your jewelry sells for over $1,500. Ready to move on from your ring? Head to worthy.com/moms to get started today. That's worthy.com/moms for the special bonus offer.
This week on Moms Moving On.
Allowing your co-parent to maybe be the fun one while they figure out, like, especially if you're separating and you were the main caretaker, like the other parent may be the fun one in the beginning just to build that relationship with their child and then kind of eventually transition into more of like the shared responsibility of like, I can be fun, but I can be serious.
You've made Moms Moving On your number one podcast for co-parenting and divorce. Now it's time to get a little unfiltered. I'm your host, Michelle.
And I'm her co-host, Jess.
And together, we're getting really real about all that happens after a mom has moved on.
From dating after divorce to blending families, we're covering it all and everything in between.
We hope you enjoy this unfiltered version of Moms Moving On.
Welcome back to another episode of Moms Moving On Unfiltered. I'm your host, Michelle, joined by my co-host, my right-hand woman and loveliest lead coach here in the Moms Moving On world, Jess Evans. And we have to dig into this concept of Disneyland parenting. I'm not going to say Disney dad because I really do think it spans like the genders, but we got to get into it, don't we?
Yeah, totally. I think it's something that comes up. I know a lot with clients that we work with. There's such a stigma around this Disneyland parenting, so to speak. So I think it's a really important topic to talk about.
Okay, so then let's just dive right into it. What are your thoughts on the Disneyland parent?
I mean, the Disneyland dad, not to gender specify, is something that my lawyer almost like put into my head when we, and like, I wouldn't classify my co-parent as a Disneyland dad, but it was almost like put into my mind when we were starting this process out, like almost putting that title on him without even knowing him. So I kind of went into co-parenting, like, is he going to be like the fun dad that's doing all of the things with the kids, and I have to be like the disciplinary, making sure things are being done. And it was really hard, especially when you're starting out the divorce process, to have that put into your mind without even starting on our co-parenting journey.
Yeah. And well, here's the problem. So people don't want to, you know, right off the bat, if you have young kids, the idea of 50-50 terrifies you, and you don't want to give your ex 50-50. And then somehow they end up with less than that. And so they don't have enough quality parenting time to do the things that, you know, you might do, the homework, the schlepping, the errands, the whatever. And then they're left with limited bits and pieces of time in which to do the fluff. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, you sometimes I feel people are painting this person into a corner where they have no option other than to be a fun parent, because if they're not going to have to take part in half the load, the homework, the picking up from school, the filling out forms for camp, I don't know, And you're only leaving them with limited time to do things. Like, what did you expect them to do in that time? Like, teach the Pythagorean theorem? Like, I don't know. So I'm always very perplexed by this, but I have a very different mindset, of course, because I'm of the opinion that in marital dynamics, one person is doing the not fun stuff and then the other one does the fun stuff. And I'm grateful for it because I'm not fun.
I think you're fun.
I appreciate that. But like, you know, for example, Bella's dad, who is a 50% co-parent, is also like the one who wants to go, like took her to the St. Patty's Day parade and wants to go check out, like, I don't know, some carnival that's happening that I'd rather like have to shave my eyebrows over. You know, like, I don't know. There are things that I'm so grateful that he does with her because I'm never going to want to do them.
Yes.
But my mindset could be, oh, really? You couldn't help me fill out the camp paperwork, but you have time to go to the circus. And that's where I think a lot of people get stuck. So it's a matter of perspective.
Yeah, I think like what you said, there's so much of a perspective shift that needs to happen. You know, and I feel like you kind of mentioned if a lot of people would have stayed married, a lot of times the mom is going to be the one assuming the roles of medical appointments and school things and things like that. It's not because you're no longer together that you're kind of assuming that role. It's just that was the role you had likely when you were married, and it's going to stay the same. And I mean, to your point too, there are a lot of things that my co-parent does with our children that I'm like, I'm so glad that you do it because I don't want to be taking the kids, you know, skiing in the middle of winter. I love that they get that opportunity because of you. I want to sit at home by a fire and relax. So, you know, I think having that mindset is really important.
I do too. And I think also allowing for your children to good co-parenting is being supportive of the other parent, right? And as long as your kids are safe, you know, I'm sorry for you if you're going to get upset over them going to bed a little bit later in the other house because of something fun they're doing, when you can take a step back and say, wow, my kids get to experience something really great. Mm-hmm. I have my feelings about it and that's okay. Maybe it's dad spends or mom spends all this money on stuff that maybe you couldn't afford. And so that makes you feel a certain type of way, and that's really real, but it shouldn't take away from the fact that your kids are deserving of these opportunities and these experiences. Like, I would never, you know, my daughter plays soccer and her dad loves soccer and they got very expensive tickets to go see Messi on the new Miami soccer team, who I could give a shit, but also would never spend that kind of money on, but like, good for them. She can say she saw Messi when he played for Miami. You know, I don't know. I just... Maybe it's because I didn't have a dad who wanted to do stuff with me.
Yeah. I mean, I think that plays a huge factor. I know we've talked openly about how our own childhood experiences shaped kind of what we want for our children throughout their co-parented childhoods. And I love that they have a dad that wants to do those things with them because it's a great experience and something that they can look back on and remember. But on the flip side, you know, is it hard being the one that's doing the homework and making sure that they're getting their reading done and things like that? That, you know, it's a challenge in and of itself, but there's also something rewarding about seeing your kid get it when you're doing the math homework with them at the kitchen table and knowing that you're helping 100%. Them in their education.
Mm-hmm. Just 100%. Like, I pride myself in being able to, you know, I said it to Bella last night. She got mad at me. It was bedtime and I was already laying down. She was coming in from brushing her teeth and I was in her bed. I'm like, babe, can you just shut the light off? And she's like, you're lazy. You make me do everything. And I was like, oh, I want to talk about lazy. Like, and she was like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I know you do a lot. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, you know, my life after 3 o'clock is you and what you need and the homework and the school and the projects and the extracurriculars and packing your bag for daddy's and thinking about what you need to pack for your trip in 2 weeks. You know, it's like, I pride myself in all of that. I'm really good at that. I wouldn't want to have to trade places. Like, I want to know that I have a handle on these things that actually really matter. Like, these are the things that she'll look back and say, my mom always packed my backpack with whatever I need. Or I did so good in school because my mom was a teacher and she was able to help me with my homework. I don't know. I like that. Yeah. But much more than sweating my ass off at some sort of like sporting event I don't care about.
Right. And I think, you know, it's those things. And I feel like throughout their childhoods, there's going to be things that you are really strong in helping with when it comes to, you know, from an education standpoint and homework, and things that your co-parent is going to be able to help with. I think I let you know yesterday that Holden called me right when he got home from school. He was at his dad's house to work on his math homework. And in our marriage, like my co-parent and my ex was in school. He went back to school while we were married, and math is just, it's not his strong point. And I love math. So I know that, you know, he didn't take offense to Holden calling me to get help with his math homework, because I know down the road when he needs help with like European history, that's on dad. Like I'm not your girl for that. So we can, you know, there's ebbs and flows to all of this throughout their childhood.
I can't do either of those things. Maybe we'll start calling you for math homework, because
do it.
No, thank you.
They're calling it the Bible for all divorcing moms. I can't believe it, but that's what they've said about my book, Moms Moving On, Real Life Advice on Conquering Divorce, Co-parenting Through Conflict, and Becoming Your Best Self. Moms Moving On is filled with practical, actionable, and empowering advice from someone who's been through it and come out on the other side, me. Through inspirational stories, rituals, journal prompts, and my guidance, you'll learn how to navigate your divorce with confidence, adjust to life as a single mom, shift your perspective to find your way back to your best self, and create the life you truly deserve. It's available in paperback, hardcover, audiobook, and Kindle. So go get my book. I promise you won't regret it.
There is a great fear that all co-parents have, that what if one day my child wakes up and they like the other parent more, or they want to be with the other parent more. And the fear then sets in for the parent who isn't like the Disney one, who isn't doing all the fun stuff. They're going to want to be with that other parent more because they're more fun. And the truth of the matter is that's not real. I wrote an article on this because it's such a pervasive fear and issue that comes with clients, and like even with your divorce attorney in that conversation to try and scare you, which terrible tactic, lawyer. But children gravitate towards security and consistency and routine. Mm-hmm. And so all the fun in the world, like think about the last time you took your kid to a birthday party where they were having the time of their lives. There was a point where you had to pull them out of their kicking and screaming, and they got in the car and they were like, I just want to go home and relax. Like they come out of school and they need to come home and sort of reground themselves. That time and that routine and that calm consistency that you provide in your home is so beneficial to them that ultimately, if they're going to the other parent's house and it really is quote unquote Disney parenting, where there are no rules and there's no order and it's just straight Wild West chaos all the time, they're actually going to want to retreat from that a little bit because it's going to be too much on their nervous systems. They need predictability to feel safe. So don't sell yourself short that you're like not fun and they're not going to want to be with you if the other parent is doing more of the quote unquote fun stuff, because that's not, I mean, things are only fun when they're fresh and shiny and new. It kind of gets old after a while to not have any predictability in your routine.
Right. And I think, you know, especially like early on when you're starting to co-parent, not like you mentioned, not taking it personal, but also kind of allowing your co-parent to maybe be the fun one while they figure out, like, especially if you're separating and you were the main caretaker, like the other parent may be the fun one in the beginning just to build that relationship with their child, and then kind of eventually transition into more of like the shared responsibility of like, I can be fun, but I can be serious.
Major, major good point. 100% retweet on that. You have to let them start somewhere.
Yes.
And if fun is the connection that brings them together, like, wouldn't you rather your child get to the end of their childhood and say, I had a relationship with both parents versus, I wasn't allowed to have one with my dad because he was just too fun. Like he didn't do any of the serious stuff. Could you imagine, like I posted this yesterday, think about the story you want your child to tell at the end of their childhood and work backwards from there. Put your ego aside, feel your fear, recognize it as fear, and put that aside too, because you can't let that stand in the way of your child having whatever kind of relationship they're going to have with the other parent, which I have news for you, you're not responsible for, or you can't control.
Right. For sure.
That's a really good point, Jess.
Thank you.
Any more good points for us?
Let me think. I mean, I think that was just, but it's hard because I want to empathize with people that are listening. If you're struggling in the beginning, right? And it's emotional and you're starting out on this journey and you're away from your kids and it's already so hard to be away from them. And then they're coming home talking about, you know, like dad took us to do this or we did that. And you're going to feel a sense of like jealousy and FOMO. And like, that's totally normal. But as you like to say, like what's now is not forever. And this fun moment, it's going to be really great for them. But over time, it will just naturally evolve into more of like a united front and you're working together for the needs of your children.
Right. And it may sting like salt water on an open wound when they come home and they say, like Bella once said to me, we never go out for dinner. Daddy takes me to such good restaurants. And I'm like, that's because I'm such a good cook. I like to be home and cooking. That's my thing, you know, but that stung a little bit. My knee jerk reaction, had I not done the work that I've done and had I not been a child of divorce, would have been like, oh yeah, then why don't you call your dad and have him take you out for dinner? And your kid might come home and say, I had so much fun with daddy. Me and daddy always do the funnest stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Check your ego.
Yes.
Take a breath. Because you, in this moment, your child is looking for a reaction to determine whether or not they did something wrong, because they already know you're hurt that the marriage ended and that they're not with you on that weekend. Now now the spotlight's on you. How you react is going to determine whether your child is going to feel comfortable and safe telling you things, whether they're going to feel responsible for your feelings or emotions, or whether they're just going to shut down and not want to do anything at all. So really, I'm so glad to hear you had such a great time.
Yes. Right.
Say it, mean it, cry later. Mm-hmm. That's all you have to do. It's not that hard.
Yeah. I think saying that and then also practicing trying not to be like competitive, right? Not everything has to be a competition with your co-parent. Like you are a team in a sense. And if they're going to dinner, then you don't have to take them to dinner and a movie to like one up them. Just allow them to have that special moment and focus on like your strengths in the role that you play in their lives. And rather than like, you know, trying to feel like you have to do something better than your co-parent did. Because I think that can get really icky. And then it can make kids like almost feel like, well, dad did this. So like, what can I have mom do because of it? Like, I think they can kind of pick up on that if you are making things a competition.
Absolutely. And you don't want to do that. And that night Bella, you know, mentioned about daddy always takes me to good restaurants. The reason why I don't is not because I can't. It's because I am a person who likes being home, making the home feel warm and welcoming. I'm always cooking. I'm always inviting people over. And I made the mistake of being like, okay, where do you want to go to dinner tonight? And I let her pick and we took her to this restaurant and it was just like awful from start to finish. I'm like, you know what? I'm staying in my lane. Like let them do the restaurants. But I do think you bring up a good point. Like you have to separate yourself from the whole thing, especially in the early stages, because everything is going to feel so big for you if you let it, versus, you know, just kind of letting this person parent and do what they need to do to make the connection. My mom always tells the story about when my parents first split up, my dad had an affair and was already with somebody new. So as soon as I started co-parenting, I had to get used to this new person. And my dad was horrible to my mom, wasn't giving child support, was getting away with it. And she would say to me, Michelle, I couldn't even afford to buy you sneakers without calling my dad in Colombia and asking him to wire money. Like I had nothing. And you would come back from your weekend with daddy and his girlfriend with all these bags of clothes that she bought you. And she's like, it would take everything I had in me to not like put it in the trash and light it on fire. And I never let you know. I just took a step back and said, you know what? Thank God she's got new clothes. And I'm like, damn, that takes so much strength on so many levels. Not only is it the person who blew up your marriage buying me the stuff, it's you don't have money to do anything for me. And now I'm getting all of these things that you would probably never be able to buy for me. And she was just so good about that. And I draw from that all the time.
Yeah, I think that's such a good example. It's so hard, right? And you want to like scream and cry because the kids don't know what they don't know, right? They don't know the backstory behind all this, but I think that's the most important thing, is to let them be kids through all of this and have a as close to a normal childhood as they can, and be kept out of like the gross behind the scenes stuff that we have to deal with.
And ask yourself, is this feeling I'm having, is it ego? Mm-hmm. Is it, oh, of course, now he's an amazing dad, but before he never would have done this. Is it that? Or is it something else? It's usually just ego. And when you can separate that, you can say, okay, you know what? I love my kids and I want mm-hmm. them to have the best of everything. And if that means only doing theme parks and movies and parties when they're with dad, so be it. They're getting everything else from me.
Right. And I think that's so important to remember, because I struggled with that. Like, of course he's doing this now. He never did this when we were married. And I had to kind of take a step back. And he wasn't doing that when we were married because I didn't really allow it. I was kind of like super type A controlling. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to take care of the kids. Like, he kind of handled household stuff and finances and all of that. Like, he wasn't really given the opportunity to step up as a dad until we were separated. And it's kind of a numbing feeling. You're like, what the hell? Like, where was this when we were together? But it was something that I feel like us not being together gave him the opportunity in a way to be the dad that he is today.
I feel that 100%. I always think, like, if my ex and I were still together now, what would his relationship with Bella look like? And I could mm-hmm. confidently say I'd probably stand in the way of so yes. much, like with, you know, oh no, she has school tomorrow, not tonight. Or mm-hmm. we got to go do this weekend and she needs to practice her reading instead of you guys going to the dog park. You know, like, I feel like I would have stood in the way so much. And I'm so grateful for the way things turned out, you know, the best possible outcome for our divorce, for sure. And I encourage you, if you're listening, if you find yourself in your conversation with your friends, you know, saying, oh, you know, they're just a Disney parent, they're just a mm-hmm. fun parent, reframe that to, I'm so glad my kid gets to have a good time and gets what they need from both their parents, even if it looks vastly different on both ends.
Yes, I totally agree.
Anyway, on that note, I am going to get ready to pick Bella up from school and do her homework and then make her do her extra math practice. And then
and you
take
can call
her
me
to theater
for math.
Practice.
Call me for math help.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could do that now. That's really rewarding. Perfect. I'm going to go be the boring parent and yeah. I'm going to love every minute of it because that's what fills my cup.
I love it.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you have other topics you'd like us to talk about, we are all ears, happy to discuss them. If you don't agree with my mentality and perspective on divorce and Disney parenting, that's fine, too. We're not here to like force you into any sort of way of thinking. We're just here to help you see the other side. So calm down and take it for what it is. Have a lovely day, everybody. Thanks, Jen.
Thanks, everyone.
So you want to be a divorce coach, but the term divorce coach is a broad one because there is just so much you can cover in the world of moving on. Maybe you find yourself gravitating towards clients with high conflict co-parents, or perhaps you have a knack for helping women pull themselves out of bed when they feel overwhelmed with single mom responsibilities. No matter your ideal client, the one thread that will unite them all is that they're moms, and moms need a different level of support when it comes to divorce coaching. With my Moving On method, you'll not only learn how to best support a client through their divorce, you'll also learn how to help support them as they transition into their new role as co-parents and managing a coaching business. I'm Michelle Dempsey-Multak, Certified Divorce and Co-Parenting Specialist, and I founded the Moving On method after years of working with clients from all over the world and seeing them all struggle with the same issues. In this training, you'll learn my 5 principles for helping a client with their moving on process, along with how to make your practice successful. Visit momsmovingon.com today to apply for my program. Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Moms Moving On. I hope you found today's episode to be helpful, inspiring, and give you the advice you need to feel empowered and strong as you move on. Don't forget to come say hi on Instagram at the Michelle Dempsey and drop us a line if there's a specific topic or subject you'd like us to discuss. Thanks. Stay strong.